Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, good morning, everybody. Some of you guys didn't get a chance to say good to see you last week, coming back off a sabbatical. So if you're back new, it's good to see you. I'm glad that you're here. If you came this morning thinking I was still on sabbatical and you're disappointed, now we've got a problem. But it is good to be home. It's good to get back into our study of the book of John today. And it's been a very exciting week, a very busy week. Chris and I both officiated weddings yesterday. So that's always fun and exciting. And it's a dice throw. You never know what's going to happen at a wedding. So we had a good time there. But to our new folks, to our new friends today, let me say welcome. I hope I won't be the first, and I certainly hope I won't be the last, to tell you that we're very honored that you're here. That at all the churches in Greenville, as great as they are, you chose to be with us. We're honored by that. And I pray that you'll find something here that speaks to your heart, that encourages you where you are, and that you might fall deeply in love with. That being Christ first and foremost, and everything else is just a formality. This morning, we're going to continue our study of the book of John. We're in John chapter 15. And as usual, our notes are available to you in the YouVersion Bible app, if you'd like to use those today. So we're going to get started. Today, we're going to talk about connectivity and productivity. Now, those are two very popular words today. Connectivity. Our world is more connected today than ever before. We can be interactive on so many levels, but we also have this challenge. We're more connected than ever, but we communicate less than ever. Amen? How about on this side? Amen?
Amen.
All right, now we're on this side. Amen? And how about the cheap seats? Amen? No, I didn't ask for yeah. You got some making up to do, Chief. You better give me an amen. All right. But we talk about connectivity and the importance of it, and it is true. And we live in a world that's connected more than ever before, but we communicate perhaps less and more poorly than ever before. And the connectivity has a direct response on our productivity, what we actually produce with the time that God gives us. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I was not a productive worker. My dad would tell you I would spend 10 minutes to get out of a 2-minute job. My dad would always pay me by the job, not by the hour, because I would drag that baby out. But we're going to talk about connectivity and productivity as Jesus teaches us this morning about, as believers, what there are expectations for us in the area of connectivity and productivity. So let's get started. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. First of all, we see that Jesus uses the I am statement for the 7th time in the book of John. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, and maybe you're not familiar with the Old Testament, the phrase I am takes us back to the Old Testament. And someone, like in Moses' case, God says, Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my children go. And Moses goes, God, I'm kind of old and I stutter. Who do I tell him sent me? And God says, you tell him I am sent you. And this is the Old Testament clear, unquestionable reference to the deity, the sovereignty, and the singularity of God. And for the 7th time in this one book, Jesus says, I am. He is clearly and distinctively stating the fact that he is God. He is Jesus. He is the Messiah. We can never overlook that. And then he goes on and he says, my Father is the gardener. Now, how many gardeners do we have in the house? Well, I know we got one. That's a gimme. All right, we see. Now, come on. Listen. You're a gardener? What do you garden? With your mom. Mom's laughing. Is he a gardener? Oh, I know what that looks like. He tries. I know that look right there. All right. Hey, listen, listen. When I ask if you do something and you give me this, you know what that makes me think? You're ashamed of whatever that is. Are you ashamed of being a gardener? You get out in the heat and in the dirt and you do whatever voodoo it is that you do. I don't believe in voodoo. Don't quote me on that. How many gardeners do we have in here? What did I just say? Okay, thanks. No, not you. So you got to get at least All right. I can see what we're working with today. But Jesus says that the Father, God himself, the Father God, is the gardener, and the gardener has certain inalienable rights. And the first one is this, is the authority. The garden never chooses the gardener. There's not a tomato plant up at Lowe's when you walk by and it goes, hey, Vicky, I choose you. You're going to be my gardener. The garden never gets to pick the gardener. The gardener always picks the garden. And the gardener has absolute authority. You have the power to bless or to curse, to give life or to give death. Now, I would ask, but I can promise that in a crowd this size, we have at least one black thumb. You know what that is? Is you kill everything you touch. There's one right there. All right. But he says that his Father has authority. His Father also guards. The gardener's responsibility is to guard that plant, to guard those plants, to keep them safe from insects, to keep them safe from danger. The gardener loves the garden. He protects the garden. He guards it. He also guides it. He shows it which way to go. You know what a garden out of control is? It's just a weed patch. That's all it is. The gardener tells it, you're going to grow this way, and you're going to grow this way, and I'm going to give you something to cling on to. The gardener has authority. The gardener guards. The gardener guides. And lastly, the gardener provides. What does it provide? Well, unless God gives the water, somebody's got to give some water. And if you live in Texas, that's you. He provides both water and perhaps nutrients to the soil. He might provide shade if necessary. But you see, the gardener has absolute control over the garden, but he also has a responsibility to the garden. And Jesus says that the Father is the gardener. And it also, he says, that he judges. Whoa, now wait a minute, Jimmy. The Bible's supposed to always make me feel good. Now, he uses two phrases in this first section, and there's a difference between the two. He uses the word to prune, and he uses the phrase to cut off. Now, there's a difference. When you prune something, it means you're cutting it for future productivity. When you prune something, maybe you're taking a few of the branches off to make sure the branches that are there can thrive. Or if you prune something, perhaps you're taking away the excessive shade so that the plant can get enough sunshine. To prune means that you're working for future production. To cut off means that you're setting aside. And Jesus said that the gardener, God, will prune or he'll cut off. Now the question is what does that look like and why would he do it? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. He goes on, verse 3, you are already clean. Now, before we go any further, we need to understand the audience in which Jesus is teaching. This morning, Jesus is speaking to believers. He says, you are already clean. He's speaking to his disciples and believers. They're already trusted in Jesus Christ. They've already established a relationship with God through faith. It's the church. It's Christian people, although they weren't called Christians quite yet. And so today, if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, if there's been a time in your life where you've placed your faith in his completed work, he's speaking to you today. If you're here today and that day has not yet come to you, there's never been a time, there's never been a place where you've placed your personal faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ. My friend, there's no greater decision in all of life that you can make. And I would encourage you to consider that decision, not just today, but tomorrow, if not today, and the next day, if not the next day. It is the single greatest, the single most eternal decision that you'll ever make. But Jesus says, you are already clean, speaking to his disciples, believers, because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, also I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, the fruit comes from the root, and we've talked about that before. You don't plant a seed and have it come up something else. If you plant an apple tree, you're going to have apples. If you plant an orange tree, you're going to have oranges. The fruit comes from the root. And one of the things that we're challenged with is this, is when we look at the fruit of our lives, we have to blame somebody, or we might have to look at the roots of our own life to see why the fruit is in our lives, okay? But the fruit is determined by the root. And Jesus says that he is the vine and God is the gardener. He's the root. Jesus says that he is the vine. And what does the vine produce? Now, the vine is not the gardener. You remember? The gardener has authority over the vine. God the Father sent God the Son for us. And so God the gardener, God the vine. And he says this. He says, I'm the vine. The vine produces the purpose. The vine tells the fruit what their purpose is. It tells the branch what their purpose is. You know, one of the greatest questions in society today is this. What's my purpose? Why am I here? Why? And there's a lot of wonderful things, but can I tell you? You were created to have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And everything grows out of that. And if you do not have that, then this constant state of purpose, it may walk with you your entire lifetime. My purpose at 49 years old now, 49, at 49 is what? To have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, to love Him, to learn about Him, and to lead others to encounter with Him. That's my purpose. Now, all the other wonderful things are just fringe benefits. So the purpose, the vine gives the fruit the purpose. The vine gives the fruit provision. The fruit doesn't get anything if the vine doesn't deliver it. The vine extracts it out of the soil, brings it up, and delivers it to the branch. All that I am and all that you are, believer, and all that you hope to be, believer, is because of what the vine is providing to us. Apart from Him, Jesus just said we can do nothing. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. It's also production. The vine gives us the ability to do something. Have you ever been asked to do a job, but you didn't have the tools to do it? How frustrating is that? You have the desire to do it. You have the responsibility to do it. You have the time to do it, but you don't have the tools to do it. And Jesus says, I'll give you the purpose. I'll give you the provision, and I'll give you the production. If you'll just trust in me, if you'll just follow me. I don't know about you, but I want to have a productive life, don't you? Is there anything worse than going to bed at night and you think, okay, so what of value did I do today? Now, a value may be sitting on your couch and catching up on, you know, whatever. That might have that value for that day. But the production is very important. A branch apart from the root is a vine and it's just a weed. And Miss Vicky, let me ask you this. In a flower bed, what do you do with a weed? You just pull it out. And you take it inside and you put it in a pot and you water it? No. We just put the pot out on the garden table. What do you do with a root? Yeah, I'm sorry, with a weed. Mean gardener. Jesus goes on, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. God is the root, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, you and me. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to be productive.